All right, folks, hello and welcome to the PMQ Live update for, what is today, Tuesday, right? April 28th. I'm here with marketing, can I call you a marketing guru or maybe just a smart marketer?
Yeah, you know what, that's fine. You can call me whatever you want.
I'm here with my good friend Bruce Irving of Smart Pizza Marketing. He's got a podcast. He's talking to some of the greats in the industry. I figured today would be a good one to kind of get that information out there about how to market your business in the shifting climate. Maybe, you know, gain new customers, but definitely keep the ones you have. I mean, Bruce is just full of these facts and tips and pointers and advice. So I figured he would probably be a really good person to talk to today. And he, at the drop of a dime, he's like, yeah, I'll be there. So, Bruce, thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us today. And then definitely, why don't you just go ahead and briefly talk about yourself and let the customers, or the viewers, I should say, know who you are and what you do.
All right. Awesome. Talk about myself. Well, we do a podcast, Smart Pizza Marketing. We have a website, Smart Pizza Marketing. What I try to do is I try to be curious. I want to ask questions from operators who are in the trenches. Just like I was for 20 years operating businesses and trying to maneuver and figure out everything that's working to grow my business. That's kind of how the podcast got started. And now I use that curiosity to interview other people in our area to do the same thing. And I share all that information for free on our podcast, which comes out every Thursday, and then on our website and on a YouTube channel. And I just try to come at it from a perspective of curiosity. What questions can I ask, or what questions would I want to know if I was operating a pizzeria? And that's kind of it. And from doing that, we've done over like 300 or 400 interviews, and we get to talk to some great folks and meet some great people and share a ton of valuable information that people can do to grow their business. And you know, there's no better time than right now to learn, and there's no better time than right now to kind of try to figure out what you want to do to shift your business moving forward. Maybe it's time to do all those things you've always wanted to do in your business, but you never really had the time to do it. Now's the time to do it.
All right. Well, I like how you said, just get, you kind of stay curious. If you're not always learning, you're standing still and you're getting left behind. What's kind of the biggest thing? I always ask this of everybody. It's usually the first question. What's the first adaptation that you had to make? Now, granted, you are marketing, so you're not like an operator in a pizzeria, but what's the first thing that you had to do to kind of adjust to the climate?
I mean, me personally, I mean, we work with a lot of restaurants, and we have a mastermind group that we have a lot of people in there, and it's more about communication. I think the first thing that you want to do is obviously communicate to your staff and communicate to your employees what you're doing, and to your customers rather, what you're doing in your business to keep up with the safety measures that are important to people who are ordering out right now. The thing that I'm noticing is there's a couple different types of restaurants. There's the sit-down restaurants, and then there's the takeout delivery restaurants. And the takeout delivery restaurants, at least the majority of ones that I talk to, are really, if they're down, it's a small percentage, but a lot of them are thriving right now. Hmm. And it's more those restaurants that were more catered to sit-down, dine-in, that are really either closed or struggling to keep up. They couldn't pivot quick enough to get the delivery takeout model up and running.
Well, as far as, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I'm hearing that more and more too, is that people who are already kind of set up for that carry out, they're thriving.
Yeah.
Fortunately in this, but if somebody is for sit down, dine in, what's kind of the best tip that you can give them marketing wise to keep people coming? Obviously they have to pivot their business model, to cater to curbside or carry out. But I mean, what's like just the best tip that they can do to keep their marketing going and keep them at top of mind in their customer base?
Are they so the people that are open, you have to I think you have to create a new menu. And I know that sounds weird, but we talked to a couple of people. Brian from Adopo Pizza, who we talked to on the podcast not too long ago, was a Neapolitan style sit down restaurant. You know, obviously people watching this show know that Neapolitan style pizza doesn't deliver well and it doesn't carry well. So that's not the type of pizza you want to do if you're going to do takeout or delivery. So what he did was he closed his restaurant for 7 days, completely closed it. He reinvented his pizza to do a Roman style pizza that's much more adapt for takeout and delivery, created a whole new system, retrained his whole staff, and literally went from a sit down restaurant to a takeout carry out delivery restaurant in 7 days just by doing that model right there.
But he actually sat down and reinvented the wheel, but he reimagined his whole dough process and stuff like that. So
it wasn't easy for him to do, but like you have to pivot, right? Like the thing that the restaurant owners and pizzeria owners and people like us are trying to figure out is like, how long is this going to last? And nobody knows. You know, it really depends on where you're located. This could be something that is over in a month, but this could be something that's for the next 12 months. So if it takes you time to reestablish a new business model in your business, so that way, if it does last 12 months, you can survive and you can reopen if you're closed and you have something to sell so you can continue to operate your business, you have to do that. There's no choice right now. There's no people dining in restaurants. And even when that does happen, it's not going to look like it did 6 months ago.
Yeah. Well, that's another one of those things we're saying is there's no old normal anymore. It's going to be new normal. So don't ever expect this to go back to the way it used to be.
No, and not anytime soon. Like the thing that restaurants, when you eat at a restaurant, it's not always just about the food. Yes, that's what attracts people, and the food has to be good to get them to come back. But it's about the experience and the ambiance and what the feeling you get when you go to a restaurant. And if you have to be 13 feet away from people and everybody's wearing masks, it's going to be hard to get people to go to restaurants in the near future.
Yeah. Well, it's just that unappealing look of people wearing gloves and masks. And unfortunately, that's the best way to keep everybody safe.
But yeah, you have to do it. But that's not what's going to make people want to go sit down at a restaurant and spend a lot of money.
Okay. Well, what kind of shifts have you seen in the marketing area? I mean, what are some of the biggest changes that people are doing and some of the things that people who are watching this can do? And I do want to encourage everybody again to ask your questions in the comment section on Facebook, and Bruce will answer them to the best of his ability.
Yeah, of course. Any question you have, throw it in there. I'll answer it while we're
Yeah, and I did put it up there, Facebook page and his website. So feel free to go visit those and get, you know, some of the best data advice. But what's like the biggest shift that you've seen in the marketing climate right now?
Video. I see the biggest shift is people actually doing video from now on. Like you have to, you know, people picking up their phone and talking to their customers. The thing that customers have right now is they're a little scared and unsure of how they should order from you, unsure of what you're doing inside your business. If they do order from you, how does the pickup work? How does the carryout work? Where should they go to pick up that curbside order? That's what people are afraid of and have questions about. So the thing I see a lot of people doing is creating content and using Facebook and Instagram as a way to distribute that content, but creating content to show the process and show people exactly what you want them to do. And I see the businesses that are doing that are having a much less complicated time trying to express that to the customer. So if you can feel comfortable doing a video, show them how the carryout process works, show them how the curbside process works, show them what you are doing inside of your kitchen to make sure that the food is safe so that the moms at home don't feel unsafe feeding their kids from your restaurant. If you can do that, you'll separate yourself from a lot of the restaurants around your business.
I did want to ask this too, because there's obviously different opinions on this, but I mean, the best message to put forth in video, because there is a lot more communication on social media. Do you want to give as much information? Do you want to be there wearing your mask and show all the safety precautions? Or do you want to kind of err on the side of normalcy? This is how we did it beforehand. You know, I mean, what's kind of the best balance of those two kind of videos?
I mean, I guess that's subjective, right? Like, it depends on who you are and what you're comfortable with. I wouldn't show them if I was going to show my kitchen, I certainly wouldn't show a kitchen with nobody wearing masks and gloves like we were doing if we were doing that before. I mean, you would get the glove police 6 months ago if you put a picture right up there without somebody with gloves. That's going to be 10 times more now if you did that. So I would show them the real action that's happening in the kitchen. If you're 6 feet apart and you're really trying to practice social distancing the best you can in your small kitchen and everybody's wearing masks and staying safe and wearing gloves, like, I wouldn't be afraid to show that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was along the lines though of, you know, the appealing nature of it, you know, for dine-in, you don't want to see people wearing masks and gloves. I didn't know if that translated at all into the social media realm.
Well, nobody's dining in right now. So I don't think you're trying to get people to dine into your restaurant. What you're trying to do is ease the fear of people ordering out and doing that takeout delivery. I think that's who we're talking to mostly here. And that's the only people that are ordering. Like, you can't go sit in a restaurant right now. It's not possible. So the only people you're trying to market to at the moment is people who are going to do takeout or delivery from you.
Okay. I got a comment or a question from George Taylor. Hopefully it's all right. I'm not, I haven't read it yet, but first he wanted to focus on letting people know it was safe to order. Now they're beginning to get back to product showings. what will we be doing 6 months from now to get the people ordering again? So that's that actually that kind of leads me into the next question I was going to have for you. What are some of the best practices for maintaining it? Let's just even call it maintaining your business right now. What are some of the best top three tips that you've seen, you've been advising people about?
To continue to be able to communicate with their customers?
Well, just in general, just to stay in business.
Oh, I mean, you got to communicate with your customers, right? Email marketing, text message marketing, run ads on Facebook. Don't be afraid to run ads. Right now, Facebook ads are a lot cheaper than they used to be because there's just a lot less competition on there. But you have to obviously adjust your message. You don't want to be insensitive to people who may have had someone in their family or someone that they know succumb to this virus, but you don't want to stop your marketing. That's the worst thing that you can do. You never want to stop your marketing or your communication. All you want to do is adjust your message, but you still want to come at it from a perspective of, listen, I need to grow my business regardless of what time it is, because I need to be in business and I want to make sure my employees are still employed and that I can pay my bills and pay my rent. So you want to continue to double down on those things. And I think, you know, that the old saying is you want to know who your customers are. You want to collect that data, that phone number, that email address, the best that you can. And you want to use the tools that are available to you, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, in order to make that happen. So you push people towards your website. You communicate through video that you have your own online ordering, so people order from you direct. And then you email market to them and you follow up with text message marketing to make all that happen.
Well, and again, I'm here also collecting the data so that you can retarget them, for lack of a better term, later. But this kind of leads into another question that I had as well. Is it, we've talked about how to maintain your customers, clear lines of communications. Is there, are you giving any advice on how to actually get new customers? Now, I know you said, you know, a lot of these dine-in places, now they have to pivot and become carryout. Yeah. What's kind of the best way to get that message across to them? I mean, video and social media, but I mean, are there any other unique things people are doing?
Yeah, I mean, for me, what this has really taught people, especially if you have a restaurant that is closed. Maybe you have a restaurant that was more sit down, or maybe your restaurant was 70% dine in and 20 or 30% takeout delivery. What this showed you was you want to have multiple streams of income. You never want to be caught with your pants down again. No matter what happens in the future or how long this takes to get out of, you want to make sure that you can serve multiple aspects of your community and not rely on one source of revenue. So we see a lot of people doing grocery takeout. We see a lot of people doing pizza kits and then selling pizza classes via Zoom. We see a lot of people doing obviously takeout, but you want to make sure that if this ever happens again, or this lasts for a while, you're not solely reliant on Facebook, on Instagram, or on your dining room as a way to generate revenue. Because if that happens, like if one of those things goes away, you're kind of caught with your pants down. You don't want to have that happen.
Well, yeah, you, like you're saying, I have several different models for when you get to a certain point. Just have plans A through E, basically, is what I'm hearing.
And like you want to use them all, right? Like we were talking about data a few seconds ago and having your customers' data. We see a lot of customers now or restaurants or pizzerias that are thriving because they've been part of the community for so long and they've been using social media as a way to get out there and engage and build that network and community with the people who live near their pizzeria or restaurant. And the opposite aspect of that is people are trying to get into the community now using social media and they haven't in the past. And it comes across as a little ingenuous where they're like, you know, where have you been for the last 12 to 16 months? All of a sudden now you need our help because your restaurant or your pizzeria is struggling and you want to be part of that community when you've never showed up before. So if anything, if this teaches you anything, it's like be involved in your community, but make sure that you're documenting that you're involved in the community and spread that out using social media.
Well, and that I have another question that I want to get to on that. Hopefully I remember it. But I did want to say, well, I guess Brian Manning is saying you should see how much toilet paper, sanitizer, et cetera, that they're selling. So they're obviously doing that through the store, which that's good. I mean, definitely not sitting on it and hoarding it. Tim Rash, and I know I always say every time, I think I'm butchering the name, but Tim Rash, he wants to know, would you ever consider punch card marketing for your customers? Like get kind of that loyalty program or get them to come back just like the old Subway cards. I mean, is that something that would be effective at this time right now that maybe
the idea of that works? Yes. I would try to do it digitally versus doing it with an actual physical punch card where someone could lose or it has to be in person. But I would try to like create an app and like run loyalty programs for people who order from you more frequently, right? Like if they get points for every time they order, and then you could distribute those points through your point of sale system or through an app that someone can create for you through text messages or through emails to get them to order more frequently.
Okay. All right. So here's this question before I do forget it. You were talking about like some of these places maybe weren't involved in the community, and now all of a sudden they need to rely on, you know, the local community. How do you get involved if you haven't been involved in the community? What's the best way to put it out there so you don't seem disingenuous like you were saying?
I think you do the same thing that you would do before, right? You reach out to the local organizations and you ask how you can help them. And that's it. You don't have to do it in any way that's different than you would think. Reach out to the local elderly community. Reach out to the local hospitals. There's so many pizzerias out there that are doing it well and that are donating pizzas in time, or they're creating a buy one and then we'll provide one for somebody in need. Like there's so many ways for you to do it. What I mean by don't come across as you doing it for profit is like, there's a lot of people I've seen out there that says like messaging matters. There was a photo I saw somewhere that says buy four, we sell four, we donate one. And the thought behind that was great. Like for every four pizzas they sell, they donate one. But it came across as if you buy four pizzas, we'll donate one. And it just looked a little weird. And the way that it came across was like, okay, so I have to buy four pizzas in order for you to donate one. Why not just donate one? Don't use it as a marketing ploy for me to order pizza from you. I know you're donating one. So the way you message what you're doing is the most important part, not necessarily like what you do.
Well, it's like sending a text and people think you're angry and you're not. It's just right. How you read into it. Choose your words carefully.
Look at it from a customer's perspective. Like look at it. When's the last time you called your restaurant, or when's the last time you walked into your restaurant? Or when's the last time you actually ordered from your own online ordering platform to see what the user experience is like, and use it and work it from that perspective, from the guest's perspective, and see how it comes across. Same with your wording. Like if you put up a sign that says buy four, we donate one, like read it from someone who doesn't know you. That's the first interaction they've ever had with your business. Does it look good? Does it sound good? Does it sound like you're trying to be trying to profit off of what's happening, or does it sound like it's actually what you're doing is you're trying to help the community? It just comes across in a bad way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's again, like, you know, you have to lead by example. You should have done every single job in your restaurant before you could be an owner, manager, or anything like that. So
yeah,
I think it makes sense that, like you said, coming at it from a customer's perspective, because whatever you think is kind of innocuous and just innocent, it just might come off as kind of dickish.
It just makes you look like wording matters, right? Like how you word something in a message that someone reads for you for the first time. If that's the first time that they've come across your business, if it's worded improperly or if it sounds strange, they're going to think of it as your business being strange. Now they're not going to just look at that one message.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we've talked about some of the things that we can do that you kind of suggest. What are some of the things you should not do? Just kind of give me the don'ts out of the do's and don'ts here.
You shouldn't not use technology.
Okay.
Like I think you should get on, even if I said in the beginning, like don't come across as someone who's trying hard to get involved in the community now. Don't let that stop you from getting on Facebook or Instagram and really getting started with that now. You shouldn't not collect the data from your customers. I think that You have to collect the email address and the phone number from your customers. That's super important moving forward, because if anything else, if social media goes away, you have the ability to contact your customer base. Don't act like nothing's going on, right? Don't act like business is normal. Like, I don't think that you should act like business is normal. You know, people in your community may have had someone infected with this virus. And if you come across like you're oblivious to what's going on in the world, you may come across as being insensitive, which will maybe turn people off. So make sure you're not necessarily promoting the fact that there's something happening in the world right now, but don't come across like your business is normal. Everything's fine. Yeah. Everything's great. Nothing's going on.
Don't ignore the situation. Acknowledge it. Don't promote it.
Yeah. And I'm very much one like on our podcast, like I'm sick of talking about it. Like I'm sick of talking about the coronavirus. Yeah. But I understand that people who listen to the show and who are running businesses are in the middle of it. And I'm not insensitive to the fact that I may be sick about talking about it, but they still are trying to figure out how to maneuver through it. So I need to be there to provide value for them during it.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I'm the same way. I don't even like saying it. So I just call it the situation.
Yeah.
I'm probably sure I'm going to get a cease and desist letter from the Jersey Shore eventually.
But, here's another one not to do. Don't start your messaging like everybody else, right? Oh, these tough times, these concerning times, these strange times. Like everybody says the same thing in commercials. Mm-hmm. Like make sure if you're running advertising or you're doing something, create a message that comes from you. Make it your own message. Don't just copy what somebody else is doing and try to do the same thing, but in their words, and make it your own. Like come up with your own thing of what you're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, you at this particular juncture, you got to stick out. You got to, I can't remember who I was talking to, but David Scott Peters, I think, so you got to get that message out there so they stop scrolling. You don't want to just disappear into the sea of all everything. It's all the same, you know,
right.
Same
message. That's why I think like maybe coming up with some unique menu items, like changing your menu up a little bit. Now is the perfect time to do the, you want to do those things. Like maybe you've thought about, maybe you had something on your menu that you had two or three things on your menu that you've always kind of wanted to get rid of, but there was always those two or three customers who would complain if you ever took it off the menu. Like now is the time to take that dang thing off the menu because they're not going to really complain that much about it. They're just banging my
That's how here. Passionate he is about that. He almost knocked his camera off, guys.
Yeah, so I think now's the time to do those things that you've always wanted to do in your business but never really had either the time, the energy, or the you never really wanted to deal with the customer blowback from doing it. Now's the time. They understand that your business is changing. They understand the environment and the world we're living in today. So now is the time to really make your business your own.
Well, this it is jump-starting a lot of changes in people's businesses. You know, like you said, maybe they just were just dragging ass on getting those things changed, online ordering, you know, all that stuff. But now you everybody's had to adapt. So
yeah,
it's changing. Yeah, I can see that. Now everybody understands things are changing. So now's the time to make those drastic changes you might have wanted to do. George Taylor's got another question here. Being that he's strictly takeout, they have a relatively small lobby area. So what's the best way to collect that customer information being, you know, if you're a strictly takeout?
I mean, I
know you said digitally, but do you have any platforms or any suggestions as far as companies?
I mean, I would try to get my point of sale system. I would try to force everybody to order online from me, like force. Like, hey, listen, I would put a message out there. If this was my business, I would try to put my message out there and say, listen, it's not that safe to have seven people answering the same phone. If you could do us a favor and just go on our website, order from us direct. We will have your order ready for us. You can text us or you can call us when you're here to pick it up, or we'll have somebody out there waiting just in the messages of your order online. Tell us what kind of car you have here at a certain time. We'll bring it up. If you have everybody's data, or if you don't have an online ordering system, ask people, what's your email address? When they come in to pick up that order, hey, what's your email address? I want to give you something the next time you come in. Can you give us your email address? I already have your phone number because you took your order somehow, but just ask people.
But yeah, that's definitely good. I mean, people are quick to be able to just give out their email address anymore. I mean, it's top of mind for every single person. So,
especially Brian now, like now is we're, asking, we're a different time now. Like, don't be afraid to do those. Like, maybe 6 months ago, if you said to 100 customers that came into your business, or maybe you were too busy to do it, like, hey, can I have your email address? They'd have been like, I get out of here. I don't want to give you my email address. But now they're like, yeah, no problem. Yeah. My email address.
Yeah, no, they're absolutely right. You know, you don't want to get all that spam, but yeah, times are changing. So
yeah.
Brian Manning asks, what you guys think about the Gold Belly company? I don't know. Many people use it. I do. I think Sean Randazzo uses it to ship his Detroit pizzas all around the country. Yeah. Have you had any dealings with Gold Belly?
I'm not educated enough on Gold Belly to give a comment here on that.
All right. That makes sense. You know, if you don't know it, don't speak about it. So
yeah, I don't want to pretend I do.
I do. I wanted to ask you, what's the most asked question you're getting right now from people seeking advice? I mean, is there one that's kind of coming to the forefront?
I think people are curious about third party apps, right? Should they use Grubhub or DoorDash, or is it time to ditch those? And there's so many, there's so many different angles. I talked to so many different people who have so many different opinions on those that it's hard to give somebody or point somebody in the direction in which they should go. I obviously am a business owner myself. And when we operated, we didn't use any of those third parties. We had our own point of sale system. We collected our own data. We did our own email marketing and we had our own delivery drivers. But it's hard to say what you should do across the board because everybody's business is different. I think, you know, I talked to, we did a pizza summit not too long ago and we talked to, I talked to Rick Gruber who owns Billy Bricks in Chicago. And I think he has 6 or 7 locations and he's using DoorDash, Grubhub and Uber Eats as ghost kitchens. So he sets up a different business for each item that he's selling. So he has like Billy Salads and he comes up with a new business and it's just salads because those third party platforms use algorithms for when people are searching for salads, even though he had salads on his menu, his pizzeria wasn't coming up because it's a pizzeria. So in the algorithm for Grubhub or whatever he was using, his pizzeria wasn't coming up. So what he did was he set up a ghost kitchen and it was Billy Salads. I don't think that's the name of it, but it was something like that. And when you search salads in Chicago, that came up first, even though it was exactly the same menu he had in his pizzeria for salads. It just looked different. So people were ordering from that separately. And then he integrated their information into his point of sale system. So he was using those platforms as almost a way to get discovered by people who would never order from him originally.
Well, and that's like when you say ghost kitchen, it's not even like an actual physical kitchen. It's just having that menu on there and it's all still coming from his actual restaurant.
Yeah. So if you look on Grubhub, DoorDash, or Uber Eats, it looks like they're three or four different businesses, but they're all made out of the same kitchen.
That's very interesting. I hadn't heard that yet. So
because people go on those platforms and they don't think about you. They're not looking for you on that platform. They're looking for food on that platform and they search on the platform for what's available today. They're not necessarily maybe looking for something. Maybe they're looking for Italian food or maybe looking for salad, but they're not looking for you. So if you come up in the algorithm first and your menu looks good and you have some good items available on there, they'll order from you and they wouldn't have otherwise.
So, I'm just noticing for the first time the Death Star behind your head. Very nice, sir.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
So as far as, he has all these ghost companies, but I mean, how important is it for like Instagram in this era right now? Is that something that people are using with great benefits as far as like getting those pictures up there to kind of keep people coming back to order during this time? Or
I think, yeah, definitely. People have more time on their hand at home than they ever had before, right? Like a lot of people are out of work. Yeah. Unfortunately, they're spending a lot of time at home because they can't go anywhere. And they're using social media as a way to research and a way to escape what's happening in their life. So you have to get on those platforms and utilize them to showcase your business and be a little bit creative on those platforms. But they're all different. Like Facebook is different than Instagram, which is different than Twitter, which is different than TikTok.
Right.
So you have to create your message different on all of those platforms. And by different, I don't mean the video or the picture, but the way you communicate and who is on those platforms is different. Like who looks at a Facebook post is for the most part different than someone who's going to be using Instagram, much different than someone who's going to be using TikTok. If someone's on TikTok, they ain't on Facebook. I can guarantee you that because it skews a much younger demographic.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask, the kind of follow up on that is that, do you want to have the informational message on Instagram or do you just want to be, just have the pretty pictures of food? I mean, like you said, you kind of got to direct the message differently for each platform, but as far as Instagram, what kind of message would you put out there?
I would put a similar message, but you got to think of who's going to be using or viewing that message. And I don't think every pizzeria needs to be on every platform. You have to look at your area and the community you live in and what are the demographics there. If it's an older generation of people, Facebook's probably going to be the best place for you to spend your time. If you're in a college town, maybe it's going to be Instagram and TikTok, but you have to remember when you put your messages on Instagram and TikTok, you can't sound like a grumpy old man, right? You sound like a grumpy old man putting messages on TikTok and Instagram. They're going to realize you're a grumpy old man. They're going to be like, okay, boomer, and they're going to be out of there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's why I don't use those platforms that often. I mean,
grumpy old man. So you have to just look at in your analytics on your Instagram. Like if you go to Instagram right now, I'm going to pull this up for you, Brian.
All right, sounds good.
I'm going to pull up. If you go to open your Instagram app right now, right? Mm-hmm. And you go to your home button, which is right here. Hold on. Let me pull up my account here. Go to Instagram app. Go to home. So your home, your main home screen. You're going to be able to see top left, top right hand corner. You're going to see three bars. So this is your main feed on Instagram. Can you see that?
The top three bars. There you go. Your three bars. Yep.
Hit that. It's going to say insights. Go to your insights.
Yep.
Right under archive. And then this is going to pop up. And this is going to be all the data from your posts and the people who follow you. Can you see that?
It's almost there focusing. It's almost.
Come on, Kieran.
It's all your analytics.
Yes. Basically. And it's going to go, if you go to audience on the left-hand side, audience, it's going to show you your followers, the times they're on there, and who, what the age range is of the people who are following you.
What?
Okay. So look at those analytics and see when you should post, who you're talking to, and what the top rated content that you've posted in the past was, and then replicate that over and over and over again. But always do it 30 days only, because a year ago, Instagram was different. So I always look at the last 30 days of my Instagram, because that's the most relevant algorithmic formula for what they're doing right now.
All right. Well, again, it's just all about the numbers and knowing what works and making sure you replicate that as best as possible. So
what we do too on Instagram, especially, we'll create posts, we'll document everything in a Google Sheet, and we'll go back 30 days and look at the data and say, okay, this post performed really well. This is the time we posted it at. It worked really well. Let's try that again. This post was posted at this time. It didn't do well. This was what we said in it. This was the photo. Let's not do that ever again. So it's really about looking at the data.
Well, I got another question now then. What do you suggest as the best times to post? Length of post? I mean, if it's a video, how long should it be? And what are the best times to reach as many people as possible?
So on Instagram, you can either do a 60-second post for the feed, or you can do an IGTV post, which can be longer than that, as much as you want. I always tell people for video, you want to make it as long as it has to be, but as short as you can possibly make it. As short as you can possibly make it. People have a short attention span. If you can get across your point in 40 seconds, do it in 40 seconds. If you can get that same point across in 30 seconds somehow, try to do it in 30 seconds. If it takes 5 minutes to explain what you're doing, take the 5 minutes to properly explain what you're doing. But make it as short as you can possibly make it, but as long as it needs to be.
Hey, no, that's that perfect balance. Just make sure that message gets out there, but don't. Social media has kind of killed the attention span of any adult, even in children now. Yeah. I mean TikTok, we live in 30-second bits.
Oh, my God. TikTok is the number one platform right now for growth, and it definitely skewed way younger, even 3 or 4 months ago. But it's getting a little older now, like Instagram did 4 years ago. but it's really short videos. It's short, catchy videos that catches your attention the first 2 seconds or 3 seconds. And if it does that in the first 3 seconds, people will give you another shot to watch maybe 10 or 15 more. But if you start your video with, hey, it's Bruce from Smart Pizza Marketing. I do podcasts and I've done, they're already gone. They're not even paying attention anymore.
I know. You lost me a minute ago, Bruce.
Exactly. So you got to hey, I'm going to show you exactly how to do this. And this is why.
So it's that call to action. Put it right out there, right up at the front.
Right.
Don't
let
them go anywhere.
Exactly. You want to catch their attention right off the bat. Otherwise, you got no shot.
All right. Well, Bruce, this has been some great information. We're getting ready to probably wrap up here in a couple minutes. I just wanted to everybody who's still watching, if you had any questions for Bruce, go ahead and ask them now in the comment section, and we'll get them answered to the best of our ability. I did want to ask you just about eating local. I mean, what are you doing right now? Are you eating out? I hate saying support local, because even chains, it's not the chains that need the support, it's the employees. So, I mean, what are you doing in this era of craziness?
You know what? I was talking to somebody on our mastermind call this morning about chains versus local, because he put up a post about a Starbucks on his business page. And he said, hey, you know what? I see the long line at Starbucks, but this local coffee shop needs the support as well. And he got a ton of flack from people being like, yeah, but that Starbucks is a local franchisee. And, you know, even though it's a corporation, you should support that local corporation. And he had a good point. In order to own a franchise, you probably have a lot more resources or funding to open a franchise versus you just starting up your own pizzeria? Like, you have to have so much money in the bank. Your net worth has to be so big in order to open up a Starbucks or a certain franchise.
True.
You're opening up mom and pa's pizza. You can literally scrap together as much as you can open and put that money to use. So yes, they both need the help when it comes to support. But I try to support the people who are from my community, who I know are just starting to grow their business or just started out their business. And like, if they don't open for the next couple of weeks, they're going to go out of business. Those are the people that I'm looking to help. So those are the community in my community. Those are the people that I know and that live in my community. I know where they started. They haven't been in business too long, but those are the people that I'm trying to visit right now. I'm doing a lot of takeout, more takeout now than I did before, believe it or not.
Well, no, I mean, that's good. I like the message. I mean, like I said, it's less about the corporation as a headless entity. It's more about the people that they have to keep employed there or those people who are working there.
That's why it's important to be part of your community, because you'll know who those people are. Even if it is a Jersey Mike's, you know that, you know what? Yeah. It's a Jersey Mike's, but it's Joe who lives down the street from me that operates that Jersey Mike's. And I'm going to go support him because I know he has two kids. So that's why it's important to be involved in your community before and after this happens, so that way you can kind of know what's happening.
Well, I mean, if you weren't before already involved in the community, go out there, join the Chamber of Commerce, get out there, meet these people. This is the time to rectify that, you know, oversight. But I did want to ask you again on the what you just mentioned kind of made me think about negative messaging. I mean, you said he put something up on his page about Starbucks. I mean, two of the hot button topics are if you mention politics or religion. I mean, you don't want to mention any of that. I mean, what are some of the other do nots for actually putting your message out there? What are some of the things you should, regardless of what you believe, just don't talk about it?
Yeah, in my opinion, you always want to be positive, right? Like, I think positive is good. You never want to look bitter or negative. I just think it just makes your business look bad if you're positive, if you're negative, or you have a bad message. So, you know, I always look at it like, I want to make my business be the biggest business I can make it be by helping as many people as I possibly can and reinforcing and motivating and being positive. And those are the messages that I put out on social media. I don't put anything about politics. I don't put anything about religion, and I don't put anything bashing anybody else. So I always try to be as positive and motivating as I can be. And I think you should do that in your own business as well. Like, if you have something to say and it's negative, I don't think your business page is the place to do that.
Right.
If someone goes to your business and Yelp is a huge issue we have in our industry, right? Everybody gets so pissed off when someone leaves a 1-star review on Yelp, yet they'll go to their Facebook business page and be like, "Ah, this customer sucks." I'm like, what's the difference?
Well, I mean, it's not even just talking about politics. If you're on whatever side of the fence you're on, it's not necessarily negative, but it may have a negative connotation for your customers.
Yeah, why would you alienate 50% of your why would you alienate 50% of your potential customer base by even getting involved in politics when you don't need to? You're a pizzeria or a restaurant. You don't need to talk about Trump or Biden. It's not something that you need to do.
Well, no, my favorite band is Pearl Jam, but when Eddie starts talking politics, I'm like,
exactly.
Just sing me a song. I didn't pay for that. I just want to hear.
You should start a political channel and, you know, start a political podcast if you want to talk about podcast or politics. But I don't know. That's just my opinion. I don't think your business is a place to do that.
But they kind of marry eventually, because even on your personal one, they know your business, but say they know that you own that business, so they can see your message on your personal Facebook. If you have a business, should you maybe refrain from even doing that on the personal? My personal Facebook became my PMQ Facebook just because I was too lazy to start a new one. But I mean, I don't try to, like you said, alienate 50% of anybody. I don't talk about politics or religion. I can see people talking about it, and that's fine. You're allowed your opinion. You know, it's why this country is great. We're all allowed that opinion. But I mean, if you have that personal, your personal Facebook and your business Facebook, should you refrain on their personal side from voicing that opinion?
I think it's personal preference, right? Like the guy from Chick-fil-A had a huge issue about politics, and it didn't seem to hurt their business at all, because their main philosophy of business kind of was religion, right? Like, people understood that.
Yeah.
They closed on Sundays. That's part of the business of Chick-fil-A. and what he said. I don't even remember. I remember what it was said, but I don't remember like who said it or the context of it. But it had a pretty good sized backlash. But then in the end, it ended up being positive for the business. So I think you need to look at yourself and your business. And it's not something that I could tell you what to do or what anybody else should give you guidance on. It's like what you feel comfortable doing. If you are really, really religious and really truly believe that something about religion and you want to have that expressed on your business page, like go for it. Who am I to tell you not to do it? I'm just saying like I keep those separate because I don't want to have any of that controversy. So in my opinion, I wouldn't combine them. But if you really want to and you feel it's necessary, then you know what? Do what you think is best for your business.
Well, no, that's you know, I love that answer right there. Is that in your opinion, you wouldn't. That's all I was asking was the opinion.
No, I wouldn't.
You're allowed to do whatever the heck you want. So.
Yeah, of course, man. Like, I wouldn't. Because I don't want to deal with any of that. Like, I don't want to get involved in politics or down that rabbit hole or talk about religion. Like, that's not what I'm interested in. That's not what I want to run my business around. And nor do I have the bandwidth to, you know, scroll the comments and weed people out. I just don't want to do that. So for me not to have to deal with that, I just don't talk about it at all. And then I don't have to deal with any of that.
Well, yeah, we did kind of go down a little rabbit hole there, but that's just what I was trying to see. It's like, what is the separation there that what you should do? And in your honest opinion, you feel it should stay separate. So
listen, I tell my kids the same. We're in a digital age. The internet doesn't go away. Whatever you post on the internet is going somewhere forever. So remember that. No matter where you post it or when you hit that delete button, it's remembered somewhere. And it's going to come back to bite you in the ass at some point if it's stupid, something you said.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is that just make sure that everything you're taking a picture of or a video of, own it. Just know that somebody's probably going to see it that you don't want to see it.
Just sure that just because it says you went to the incognito window on Google doesn't mean that it didn't remember what you typed in, you creepy bastard.
The internet never forgets.
No, it doesn't.
Well, again, you know, how can people reach you if they want to get some information and remind us of the times and place of your podcast?
New podcast comes out Thursday morning. Just go to smartpizzamarketing.com. You can find everything over there.
Okay. And that's every Thursday?
Every Thursday. Yeah.
All right. And can people reach you at the website?
You can reach me. If you want to email me, bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com is my email. Smartpizzamarketing.com is our website, and on social media, Facebook, Instagram, the Bruce Irving or Smart Pizza Marketing. If you just search any one of those on any platform, you'll find me.
Awesome. Well, I do appreciate your time today. This has been some great information, very useful for a lot of people. I'm hoping a lot of people tune in and they watch this on our Facebook as it's going to live there forever because the internet never forgets.
Forgets. Yeah, it never goes away. Brian, thank you so much. It was great talking to you, my man.
You too, my friend. So, there's one more. Somebody jumped in. Oh, okay, Craig. Craig Allen Ball, US Pizza Team. Awesome job, guys. So, yeah, we definitely appreciate everybody tuning in and asking questions. So, we're keeping these coming every single day. Go visit my friend Bruce at Smart Pizza Marketing. But until then, you guys stay safe and stay sane. See you guys next time.
See ya.